the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me songs.
an awesome way to praise the Lord. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Our success isn't what it should be. The fact is, we could be counted as failures, and there are 12 of us.
For one thing, my dear associate, we have not the ability that John the Baptist had, and we can't be expected to convert people as he did.
Do we lack sincerity and faith?
Each of us will have to answer that for himself. As for me, my faith is as strong as ever. My belief in John the Baptist as the forerunner of the Messiah is stronger than ever. What knowledge I have, I want to impart to others.
We all do, but we seem to be failing.
Well, perhaps we should teach more of Jesus and less of the things John the Baptist preached.
Well, are we sure that Jesus is the Christ?
No, but whether he is or is not, we can preach his mission to this earth. We know what that is and have Scripture to guide us into further truth.
We must not forget, brethren, that we are laboring under the most adverse conditions possible. Ephesus is a great city. Its strategic position gives it great importance commercially. Its great temple to the goddess Diana is one of the seven wonders of the world. The people here, and those who travel to and fro, seem to have one thing in mind: pleasure-seeking. They have no time for truth.
Greetings and salutations, stranger.
Greetings and peace unto you.
Something I can do for you?
I am Paul. I am told that you and 11 others are disciples of John the Baptist.
Well, won't you come in and be seated?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, I'm one of the 12 who follow the teachings of the man of the wilderness.
A man with an important mission. In the sight of God, he was a great man.
Well, we think so.
I understand that the 12 of you preach the message of repentance and a coming Messiah.
We do the best we can.
You must preach privately.
Privately, most of the time.
May I inquire as to the reason?
Well, the Israelites won't let us preach in the synagogue. But I think I'm entitled to ask you a few questions. I take it that you're an Israelite.
Oh, half Israelite, half Roman. Roman citizen through my father.
Are you here as a Roman or Israelite?
Neither. As a Christian.
Oh, you're that Paul. I've heard many things about you, both good and bad.
Well, being a Christian is not easy. There is much suffering and persecution, even as Jesus himself was persecuted and suffered.
I'd like my 11 brethren to be in on this conversation. Do you mind waiting? They'll be here shortly.
By all means. Let us wait. You are followers of John the Baptist. I know pretty much what you believe. So let me, first of all, ask if you have received the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit?
We haven't even heard that there is such a thing.
Unto what then were you baptized?
Unto John's baptism. Is there another kind?
Before I answer that, I want you to know and understand that I, too, believe in John. He was ordained and commissioned by God. He fulfilled his mission and died a martyr's death. His mission was to prepare Israel for the coming Messiah. The Messiah has come. The Son of God came to this earth, was crucified, died, was resurrected, and has gone back to his Father in heaven. Him ye should also believe in, for through his name and only his name is there salvation.
Tell us about him.
Yes.
All about him.
Yes, from beginning to end. Tell us, please.
After telling the 12 the story of Jesus, Paul said,
"Before leaving for heaven, Jesus gave his disciples this commission. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit."
Paul told them of Christ's promise to send the Comforter, through whose power mighty signs and wonders would be wrought. He described how gloriously the promise had been fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. By faith, the 12 men received Jesus as their personal Savior.
I
I therefore baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And by the laying on of hands, thou art baptized in a special sense by the Holy Spirit.
For 3 months, Paul preached in the Israelite house of worship. And because of jealousy, the synagogue authorities began to speak evil of Paul and his message of salvation.
Brethren, I am happy to say that I have found a suitable place where we can continue to worship. The school building owned by Teacher Tyrannus. It is large enough to hold public meetings.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
I heard about old Noah landing on the mountain top. I heard about old Ezekiel preaching to the bones. I heard about old Daniel praying from the lion's den. I heard about little David picking up 5 smooth stones. I heard about old Joshua tearing down old Jericho. I heard about that battle when the sun stood still. I heard about old Samson waiting for his hair to grow. I heard about old Jonah learning to do God's will. But greater than all these miracles is something that happened to me the day that Jesus came into my heart to stay. That Jesus came into my heart to stay.
Hello again, everyone. This is Live with Sam. I'm Sam, and I'm here with my mother to discover more of her secrets for cooking amazing meals using nothing but fruits, vegetables, grains, nuts, beans, and legumes. Mom, let's talk beans.
Are you sure you want to?
Yes, beans are delicious.
But they give you such gas.
Mom!
You blow up like a balloon.
Mom!
The whole neighborhood knows when you've had beans for lunch.
Okay, let's move on to vegetables. Why do you serve your family so many vegetables each day?
I'm glad you asked that question, Sam. Vegetables are like nature's health food store. They contain so many nutrients and vitamins. There's not a pill, prescription, or packaged food on earth that can touch them. Totally healthy. Unfortunately, most people don't eat anywhere near enough vegetables each day. Then they get sick and wonder why.
How about fruits?
One word, antioxidants.
What's that?
Only the greatest cancer fighter known to man. When cancer is growing in your body, those cancer cells need oxygen to live and multiply. Antioxidants arrive at the cancer site and basically remove oxygen from those cells. Then they can't grow and multiply.
Is eating fruit the only way to get these antioxidants into your body?
Well, they're also available in beans, but I don't think you want to talk about beans.
Yes, right. Let's not talk about beans. This is Live with Sam. Goodbye.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Have you ever been asked to be in a wedding? Maybe someone wanted you to be a junior bridesmaid or an usher. Maybe they wanted you to light the candles or spread flower petals. If you have, you know how crazy the wedding planning and rehearsals can be. That's what Maria finds out in this Shoebox Kids mystery. This time, Maria has a real problem. She's excited about being in her aunt's wedding, but everything is going wrong. Should she refuse to be a junior bridesmaid? Can you figure out what happened to Maria's missing dress before she does? Chapter 7, Wedding Dress Disaster. Everyone stared in the direction Maria was pointing. Maria had been looking at Mrs. Wallace, but suddenly she noticed that she could also see the table where she had left her dress, and she could see that the dress wasn't there. "My dress!" Maria cried. Mrs. Wallace had whirled around, expecting to see her cake horribly mangled or falling over or some child grabbing a chunk of it and trying to shove it into his mouth. When she saw that the cake was okay, she dropped onto a chair and started to fan herself. She didn't hear anything about the dress. "Sorry, Mrs. Wallace," Maria apologized as she grabbed Jenny by the sleeve and dragged her over to the table. "My dress was right here, but now it's gone." "Maybe your mom has got it," Jenny suggested. Maria smiled and relaxed. "Yeah, Mom's probably got it." After a quick glance around the multipurpose room, she located her mom and hurried over. "Did you find a hanger for my dress and hang it up?" "No, I haven't looked for a hanger yet," Mrs. Vargas said. "I'm going to be decorating these tables for a while, too. Could you go ask for a hanger?" "But, Mom, I can't." "Sure you can, Maria," her mom said without looking at her. She was trying to fix a centerpiece so the flowers wouldn't all droop to one side. Maria wanted to shout, but she remembered what had happened to Jenny's mother a few minutes earlier, and she didn't want to scare anyone else. "Jenny and I will just hunt for the dress ourselves," Maria thought. She turned to Jenny. "Mom thinks my dress is where I left it, but I left it right over there on the table, and it's not there now. Someone must have stolen it." Jenny frowned. "Maybe someone just moved it out of the way so it wouldn't get dirty. Maybe someone hung it up." Maria realized Jenny made sense, especially since they were in a church, and people don't usually steal when they're in a church. But somebody must have taken it. "Let's go over and investigate," she said, leading Jenny back to the table. "It was lying right here, and some guy's diaper bag was right beside it." Jenny giggled. "Some guy's diaper bag? Don't you mean some baby's diaper bag? At least the stuff inside must belong to a baby." "Well, some guy was holding a baby," Maria replied. "It probably belonged to them, but I don't see him anywhere, and the diaper bag is gone too." Jenny finally realized what Maria was saying. Maybe the mysterious man stole the dress. "Do you think he could have put it in the diaper bag so no one would see him take off with it?" Jenny's eyes had grown as round and big as saucers. They both stood and stared for a moment, trying to decide what to do next. "We can't just find him and steal the bag back," Maria said. "We'll have to find my dad or Pastor Hill. Come on, let's go." They had only gone 3 steps when Jenny grabbed Maria's arm. "What if it was Chris?" she asked. "I saw him over here when I was holding the door for my mom. He could have taken it as a joke." Maria didn't know what to say exactly. Chris probably had taken the dress. It would be just like him, just as bad as the joke he played last night. "I guess you're right. Let's go find him." Maria and Jenny checked the lobby and the hallways, but Chris wasn't there. Next, they walked out to the gym to see if he was shooting baskets, but there were only 2 younger kids playing in the gym. "He's probably outside," Jenny said. Maria opened a door and went outside. The parking lot was filling up with cars, and Maria suddenly thought of something. "I don't have much time before I have to change. We have to find my dress." Maria and Jenny walked around the church until they were back at the front door, but Chris seemed to have disappeared. "Isn't that Sammy's uncle's car over there?" Jenny pointed out. Maria smiled. "Yeah, Chris said Locke was taking the wedding pictures. Maybe Chris is with Sammy." "Maybe? I'm sure he is if Sammy's here. They probably planned taking the dress together, and now they're hiding out somewhere so we can't find them. Or worse, they're probably watching us hunt for them this very minute. Sometimes boys are such brats." Maria looked at Jenny and laughed. "I was just thinking the same thing last night when Chris tricked me into turning my head even though I had a stiff neck." Yo-Yo was standing in the lobby with her pink suitcase and Liberty when Maria and Jenny went back inside. "Hi, Yo-Yo," Jenny said. "Hi, Yo-Yo," Maria said. Jenny knelt down in front of Yo-Yo. She looked at Yo-Yo's doll. "She is a very pretty doll. What's her name?" "Liberty," Yo-Yo answered. Do you have clothes for Liberty in the suitcase? Can I look at them? No, I just changed her for the wedding. Liberty doesn't want to be changed again, Yo-Yo said. But I just wanted to look at her clothes. Maybe I have some doll clothes at home that will fit Liberty. If they're the same size, I could give them to you, Jenny said. Yo-Yo thought the offer over. She held Liberty close to her ear so she could hear what her doll had to say. I'm sorry, Jenny, Yo-Yo said in as big a voice as she could, but Liberty says she doesn't want to wear old clothes. But they wouldn't be old clothes to her, Jenny tried to explain. Yo-Yo shrugged and picked up her little pink suitcase. We have to go sit down now. Maria was getting impatient. Come on, Jenny. If we don't find my dress, it's going to be a disaster. The wedding plans will be all upset, and I won't be able to be a junior bridesmaid after all. They walked past Yo-Yo and went into the sanctuary. Yo-Yo stopped walking. I thought you didn't want to wear the dress, Maria, she said. But Maria and Jenny had already gone.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 6, The Wedding Dress Disaster, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.